what you're really saying is the 108.4 is very dramatic.
It is, but now let's consider this thing. If he's running against that 108.4 and he's being asked to keep up, what is he going to have to keep up with here, even with low orders? 110, 110 and 2? Doesn't that make him stronger at the finish in terms of his energy? So White Mischief is not the kind of horse that wants the lead, so no matter who you put in there as a sprinter, it's not going to hurt him any. So now what's going to happen is he's going to probably, the way we've got the race set up, he'll probably tuck in second or third and go against a slower pace than the piece race. Then he's going to have a ton of horse when they come in this red. Everybody, can everybody see that? Now, this one right here is probably not a one because we didn't put Lobo into the race. If we put Lobo into the race, it probably becomes a two. And Keep Me in Stitches, if he's in a race, that probably makes White Mischief a three here. And that's really what you want, like a 1-3-1 on this course. Just remember that we didn't put everybody in, so some of these numbers could, these numbers are suspect from recitation spin because he's a better closer than the peers. And he's probably a little better closer too because he's not going to have to run against the 108.4. That's right. Any other questions on this race?
What happened to White Mischief last race?
Well, first of all, consider this scenario. First of all, this had to have been a tougher race than the allowance race he was in. For one thing, he was 4-1, got beat a nose, and all of a sudden he's 8-1 in the Will Rogers, right? He's in the same race that Bruce won his 45-1, so that tells you how they're regarded. His last race, it says, veered out at the start. If he comes out hard enough, he doesn't regain his footing. And then if they're out there going 46, he moves up into that, but then they go 23-2 to the next quarter. And if he's not already got his running shoes on, they're going to pull away from him. Once they pull away from him, what do you think the guy's going to do with him? There's no percentage in continuing that. So that's an excuse, right? Plus, he drops down into the identical conditions that he was in when he ran that race to peace. 1 mile, $40,000 allowance race, now he was in twos. That's what I feel about the last race. But you never know. I mean, sometimes when the last race is bad, I mean, sometimes you all the logic in the world points you in the right direction, and yet that last race was indicative of how they're going to run. Well, I don't think so in this case. I like what Mr. Montana says. And I would probably play it here 2-1. Let's go to the fifth race. This is a non-winner one. Three rolls it up. I'll give you the par. The par for this level, I'm going to give you how many of these are at six and a half? Several at six. I'll give you the six and a half, and 7 furlong pars in here. Does anybody have a 7 furlong race? No. Yes. I'll give you the six and a half, and 7. The 6 furlong par is 110-1. The 6 and a half par is 116-3. And 7 furlong is 122-4. That's the par for a non-winner's and one at Hollywood Park. Let's get some running styles here. Paramount Jet, what do you think he is?
Sustained.
He'll be heavily sustained in the sprint, won't he? No matter. Well, we probably will, but not right now. Under and over, what's his style?
Pressure.
Our Native Wish, what's his style? I think his basic style as a presser is where he's going to be in here, because the one time he won, I agree with you, if he can't get the lead, he won't win, but we'll get rid of him for another reason. The one time he won, you could say he was early, but they ran 46-3, and that was the slowest straight maiden fraction at Santa Anita on a dry track. That was incredibly slow. and he happened to get the lead. I would probably call him oppressive. Because even that race, when he was on the lead, he was basically oppressive style. Everything was oppressive. Energy, everything else. Major Current. Oppressive. Who called him an early? Hush. Shame on you. Jet Pro. We're going to put down early with a question mark because I'm really not sure. He's only got the one race to show you.
It was a
great race. And you'll find that the end will be oppressor's energy, not a front runner. But on the other hand, some of these maiden winners, when they look like oppressor, yet when they came to the lead, they decided not to run at all. So we're just going to have to put down early with a question mark, because he may be oppressor. He may be able to handle some, and he may get the lead in here, so we'll have to deal with that. Mulholland? I would agree, this one doesn't belong in a dirt sprint here at Hollywood Park. And probably he will here when they let him get on a dirt course. Taurus Vedris. Let's skip him for a minute, go down to Abby B. Runner. Jolly Groom is scratched. Abby B. Runner, what do you think? These non-winners, I gotta tell you, these non-winners and ones are difficult because you don't have enough data. What is Abby B. Runner? I don't think you can answer this with any degree of sure. When he won, he won on the lead, right? Well, he won by getting the lead in 46. There is no racetrack in Southern California that allows maidens to go 46 and still win, and yet he caught the kind of racetrack. His next race, he showed a real ability to close, but the race was over before he started closing. He was 8 lengths behind at the 8th. Can we just label him? I'm going to label him with just a question mark. I really can't tell you. He may need the lead to win, although he closed well last time, but he was no threat to win there, right? Okay. Now back to Taurus Vedris. In his first two races, there was no doubt he was early. In his next race, yeah, he did. He closed some. His next race, he tried for the lead again. Routing doesn't count. And in his last race, what was he? Pressing?
Pressing.
Yeah, he kind of was pressing last time.
He closed.
Yeah, he did. He closed some. So what is he?
Early
pressing. Now, it's hard to count on when they come from these minor leagues, like he just ran up at Golden Gate. And often, we'll send dedicated front runners up there and are able to close a little bit because there's really no talent in those races. You almost wanted, if he didn't have that race on March or February 10th, I would call him strictly early. But since he does have that race, it was a pretty good race, I'll have to go with the early slash system. Just be careful that if you're going to use a race from a lesser racetrack, that you've got something at the larger racetrack to back it up to. Okay, so now we have, let's make contenders. We haven't made contenders yet. Do we have, who are the early horses in here?
Jet Pro,
Taurus Vedris, right?
And what?
Or Native Evolution.
Major Curve.
Alright. Let's look at Paramount Jet. Is there a heavy favorite in this race, folks? Nope. 12, and 11. No heavy favorite. Okay. Paramount Jet, is that a contender?
Yeah.
Now, let's look at him for a minute. You're right, the post bias, he's really disadvantaged with the inside draw. But look where he normally is at the second call and the stretch call. Okay, considering where you have to be at Hollywood Park to win in these sprints, is he really a threat to win this race?
No.
I mean, he can win. In one out of 20 races, you're going to have somebody like this jump up and beat you. Maybe not one in 20 even. But you can't deal with that as one of your plays. This horse, everything you look at says this horse should not win this race. He's going to be in the wrong position. I thought he broke down last time, but obviously not. He's back. Anyway, you can't let him...
Well, he's the one that pulled up because they marked at the wrong place.
Apparently, that's right.
Yeah. That was the same thing that could be replaced.
Yeah, McCarran is really a veterinarian. Okay, now let's look. Folks, look at the damage the one post... Look at under and over for a minute. Look at the damage that rental can do to these horses. I think he's 8-5. And he beats two horses in that race. And he had a super number in the race. Okay, now he's back down again on the inside. Is under and over contender again?
Yeah.
Sure, of course he is. What about our native witch? Okay. Is our Native Wish a contender?
Yes.
Now, give me your hands here. Now give me your hands if you say he's not. I agree with this group. Okay. I wouldn't use him in here. He's gonna be, again, there aren't that many horse stories, but he's gonna be toward the inside. Doesn't have a lot of ability. His last race is in the same race with over and under, and even though they ran within a nose of one another. Under and over is 8-5. He's so lightly regarded, he's 14-1. Before that, 16-1 in identical conditions. And in none of these races, with the exception of a race in which they went 45-3, in none of these other races was a horse ever a threat at the 8th pole.
Too many chances.
And that's another point. He's 1-20, and you're right. And this Nowhere's a 1? Good point. What are you looking for in a Nowhere's a 1?
Lightly raised.
Looking for a horse that hasn't had a whole lot of chances to prove he's really a bad horse. You look for horses that have had one or two chances against Nowhere's a 1 and has run well, especially his last start. Or you look for somebody that really ran well as a maiden and did better than par and then moves into a race like this. I'm going to tell you what you're not looking for. You're not looking for our Native Wish, who's 1-20. And folks, you're not looking for Under and Over, who is 8 chances at this Nowhere or 1. And of those 8 chances, he's been favored 6 of them. That is not the kind of horse you're looking for under ideal conditions. The only way you could possibly want this horse is if the whole race defaulted to him because there was no one else in there that could run. Okay, but he's a contender. I agree with the group that threw out our Native Wish. Since I get to be boss, we're going to throw it out. Major Current.
Yes.
He's clearly a contender, isn't he? I'm going to lose my voice before this day is over. Clearly contender. Jet Pro. You bet your life. And look what post he won from. Abby B. Runner. Okay, how many horses do we have as contenders? 1, 2, 3. I skipped over one, we'll have to go back to. Abby B. Runner. Anybody want him?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, folks, before you go any further, what's par for this level? 6 furlongs. What is it? What kind of an allowance race must that have been that he was in last time? And that was that was the weakest allowance race at this meeting. That was the one Mad Cuff was in, Brave Capade, Are You My Casey was down on the inside. That was a horrible race. And if you look at it, he's eight lengths behind still with an eighth of a mile to go. And what they came home in was 26-4, which is why he made an impact on it. That is a horrible allowance race. That's a reason we're putting these pars up front. Now again, is Abby Runner based on our pars? And where and his running style and all the rest of it based on his last race. Is he a contender again?
No.
Now that's a horrible race.
If you excuse the fact, and obviously you know, that's his first race back and after a layoff, give him a chance to go back to the form he had before.
Well, what if he does? What if he runs a 46 in him?
He's
four or five legs behind him to half anyway. No, I don't. I think his last race should have been good. He's only had a couple of races. He should have been pumped up and run well. But that race is just so bad. He showed so little in a horrible race. Now, if that race had been run in 109-3, he got a different game.
Come on to 25-3.
He did, yes. Yeah. That's still coming up pretty slow. Especially for a closer. All he did was pick up horses that were collapsing. Which was Mad Cuff and Are You My Casey? I don't remember who else was in there. Okay. Who? Oh. Now, what about Torres Vegas?
Yeah.
I think he's a contender. Okay. Now, let me tell you something about Golden Gate. Because this might really influence you a bit on this. Let me tell you what the $10,000 claiming par is at Golden Gate Field. It's 110-1. Now, what does that make you think about Torres Vegas' race up there, as good as it looks? No, $10,000 parts won't take it more.
Oh,
and you're varying from zero for
that. Then it becomes a minus 30.
Yeah.
See, what happened, the $10,000 part is about seven levels below what he's doing today. Maybe not that many. Six or seven. Ten, four, five, six. Six doing today. And all they did was max that par up there. And he said my variant was zero. So that was strictly a $10,000 quality race that he was in up there. That's not very impressive before you line up to go to the window line. Now we're gonna leave him in here. We're gonna put him through the computer and just take our chances whatever we get. But I'm just telling you that we're gonna put him in here so we'll have five up on the board. My point is that if you use these par charts, there's a lot of information in the proper use of these parts. Because looking at this right now, the only horses that I am interested in or would be interested in this race are Major Turn and Jet Pro, period. End of discussion. Okay? That's the only two I'd be interested in this race. I wouldn't be interested in Thunder and Over because of the spaders at this level so many times. Major Currents race, 122-4, matches a non-winners of one, and you want to make it out of it. The other horse, Jet Pro, 110-1 matches the 110-1 for a non-winners of one. So they've already run as well as this race requires them to run. That's the kind of maiden winner you're looking for. They haven't had a chance to fail a lot of times, like Under and Over and Our Native Wish. We're going to put it through the computer. This is the use of these pars. When you understand them and use them, you can look at this and say, I can get to the heart of this race pretty quick. You're not always going to be right. You know, some of them just aren't going to run to their numbers, but you're going to be right more often than you're going to be wrong. All right, adjust a baseline. How about Under and Over?
Second, back.
822.
Let's go down further. Let's give you a bit. We'll argue through that. Major Current. Last race, what's the variant at the May 22nd and the 6th?
Plus 20.
Plus 20? Jet Pro's last race?
Yep.
Yes.
The variant on June 10th, the second? It's a big win. Torres Vedras' race was zero up there, which becomes a minus .30 down here. Now, under and over.
Second back.
Okay.
This just reminds you of Roy Dodge on the other day. I had him there.
I've got prime comfort in this particular region. Because he's drawn outside. He was in the five or six spokes. Let me tell you about using the second race back. That is too good a race to use. Okay? And it doesn't, it's so unreliable. I've beaten favorites so many times. I would entertain using the third race back, except he was drawn outside and he should have been able to win that race. And in his last race, logic. This is a tough call because my first reaction is that I won't bet this horse, period. I just don't want him to come up on your computer. It is allowable to use the second race back in this case. It really is. He was in the three post, today's in the two. It's basically the same situation that he was in. That still doesn't make him a bet for us, so we're going to eliminate him on the readouts later. But his last race, crowded at the 3/8. If he draws that comment, it was enough for the chart maker to say, for it to catch his eye, right? And right there, then. If he's crowded, there's a very good chance he can't run for a little while. Which maybe explains why he's 3.5 or 4 lengths behind at the stretch call. It's significant, I think, that this, Pinkai's the number two rider out there, isn't he? Two rider. Significant he stays with the horse. I would use the second race back, but I tell you, we won't play. But we're also trying to get across what we would normally do. And what we would normally do is use that second race back. Yes?
Since he was crowded with 3/8, what about taking the 6-furlong interior of that race? Where he wasn't so far back, so one way.
Do you realize where the 3/8 is?
Well, it would help him some.
Well, it shouldn't help you much. 3/8 is long before the 6-furlong mark.
He was a length close to the run.
No, actually he wasn't. Claudia? The six furlongs actually occurs closer to the 16-1 than it did to the 8-fold. Occurs right in between them. What is the variant on that race?
-0.3.
What?
-0.3 for under Melbourne.
May 25th, -0.3.
Right.
Okay.
That did not long.
No, I don't think so. That's a very fast race. Yeah, it is, but see, it becomes a matter of trying to duplicate today's conditions. And normally, that's what you're trying to do. If you go back to that third race back, you're giving him the benefit of the bias out there. If the second race back is, for all intents and purposes, the right race to use all the time. It really is. That is just the logical race to use. It's basically the same post, same conditions. Why go to the third race back? Now, I don't like, we're going to get rid of this horse, but be aware that he's maybe going to come up 1-1 here. Okay, so you either get rid of him as a contender, or you realize when you pop him up there that you're choosing the best of his races. That's what I will do. Only I already took this race. I wouldn't go about that. So. Okay. Sure, there seems to be only. What you have to do is you have to go with long. What you have to go with real. In this case, the probabilities are year in and year out. These two horses are just going to make up.
They're likely to race as well.
They're likely, that's right. They haven't had a chance to screw up like this guy. Okay. And then even if today, if he wins, you're still better off using those other two horses 8 out of 10 times. Plus, you're probably going to be the top figure in the race anyway. I'm jumping ahead. All right, let's get this race done. Oh, I don't know, I'll go check the way you're putting this down. Run it through the computer, Donna, if you will.
I can do it.
Okay. Smoking the gun. Right, because you don't have that much data on JetPro. Okay, now JetPro, let's look at these first two numbers. They're matching. The one thing you gotta realize is that Torres Vedras' numbers come from Golden Gate Fields, which they run much, much faster, the first two drives. Much faster. So you have to kind of downgrade this a little bit. Now, he may want the lead in here. I mean, it's the outside, he might go for the lead. I'm not sure he can outrun JetPro.
Where does he have to come into, back here, the minus 0.30? What did that affect?
Well,
to say that those numbers have been adjusted then.
Okay, the only thing you're really adjusting in this case is the overall number, if I can tell you. But let me tell you the difference.
Well, so the fractions are...
Well, they've been adjusted, but 0.30 doesn't quite equalize. It's just like the turf and the dirt. See, the fractions aren't quite equalized, even though you have like a 1 point versus a minus 3, like recitation spin, it still doesn't balance the fractions. Now, the way you get it adjusted is that you recognize that Golden Gate Fields runs about 3 lengths faster to the half than Hollywood Park. With that in mind, these numbers are really high compared to what they really should be at Hollywood Park. And probably JetPro's got more speed than Torres Vedras right now. And if you go back and say Torres Vedras has got a 44.5, he did that, but he only did it once in his life. It was really an incredible run that day. I have no idea what happened to him on the day. The chances are very good that JetPro will just outrun Torres Vedras. Now this is 7 furlongs. Horses. The bias at 7 furlongs is the same roughly as 6 and 6.5. You have to be right there. Based on that, Major, Taurus, and JetPro all have the best early pace. Over and under, how far back should he be? Not very far. He's got a chance to. Who would you like to play in this race? Well, just like the last race, we're going to use 2 horses. Okay. So, is there a popular... Fortunately, the popular opinion across the group was to use the right horse in the last race, and the other two groups just kind of split on the second one. How about this one? What's the first horse you want to use in your 2-horse play?
JetPro.
Yeah.
Major. Hands, please. JetPro. All right. How many of you would put Major Curran on top? All right, how many want to use both of these two? Okay, how many, give me some other, who wants to use under and over as 22 horses? Okay, there's 2, 3. How many want to use Taurus as 1 of your horses? Nobody wants that. Okay, so those of you that are using under and over, just write him down. As a group, we're gonna make the race between Major Curran and JetPro. And I just caution the users of under and over. Just don't be surprised if you miss the first one again, because those horses have a habit of continuing on and on. And when they do win, I got to tell you what else happens. When they do win, somebody I guarantee will come up to me and say, "See, I was right." Forget the other 8 times. I was right. I put him in a 2-hole tilt. Who's my selection? The 2 you guys chose. If I have to lean, we're betting 2. Okay. The one I would put on top, I put the wrong one on top last night. But the horse I would put on top is JetPro. He won off the rail. But you always have, there's a negative to this too, and there is such a thing as a bounce. And a bounce is a real life phenomenon. This horse came off the layoff to run that race last time. And conceivably, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't fire a big shot. That is a true fact of life, the race
And that is 7 for all 4
It's a big plus. I don't expect him to bounce, but he can have Okay. But I would put Jet Pro on top, Major Current second, and Underanova third is the way I break the rest.
It is much as the most likely race around the one is the 308.
Very strong feeling. I'm glad you brought that up. I meant to mention it earlier, and it went right past you.
We don't know about the site.
In a non-division one, there's a definite, first of all, I gave you the right profile. They both fit there. Now, Underanova doesn't fit it anymore. He did it for his first few tries. He doesn't fit it anymore, but the right profile favors Major Current and Jet Pro. Major Current is a four-year-old, got a little maturity, right? How many of you would prefer Major Current based on his maturity? Okay, in truth, the three-year-old has an advantage in these numbers of ones. The three-year-old, year in and year out, has the advantage in the numbers of one. The reason for that, not so much over Major Current, because he's only had two races, but generally, the younger horse, which is another knock against Under and Over, and trust me on that, but the younger horse hasn't had a chance to screw up so many times. And more than just a long-range statistic, daily statistic says that the three-year-old has a major advantage in these races. And even a small advantage in the numbers of twos.
He's getting 7 pounds off. He's getting away a lot.
Yeah, they're just better horses. These horses can still be very good. The four-year-olds that are still locked in the numbers of ones shouldn't be there. But a Major Current, though, has only had two chances, so you really can't fault him on that.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much equal, although you wonder why Major Current couldn't get the races until he was four. That's right. You know, they have some kind of a conditional problem.
Now, Judge,
yeah, but I mean, that's an exception. Most of the time, they had real physical problems they could have proven to show me wrong yesterday. Okay. But in this case, it's not a significant advantage.